This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. Here's something just about everyone who lives in Vermont agrees with. The health of Lake Champlain is critical to the state's well-being. That's true from an economic, aesthetic, and recreational standpoint. What's more difficult to reach consensus on is how to clean it up and what to do to keep it healthy. The good news on that front appears to be the collective reaction from environmental watchdog groups that Julie Moore has been chosen by Governor-elect Phil Scott to be the new Secretary of the Agency of Natural Resources. Julie Moore brings extensive private sector experience to the job as chief of the water resources for an environmental consulting firm in Montpelier, as well as her previous work for ANR on Lake Champlain's cleanup. Julie Moore joins us now in our Colchester studios, and thank you so much for speaking with us. Congratulations on the new job.
Thank you, and thank you for having me here today.
And listeners, if you have a question for Julie Moore regarding lake cleanup, you can call us at 1-800-639-2211 or send a question to our Vermont Edition Facebook page. You can also email us at vermontedition@vpr.net. Julie Moore, you come to this appointment with almost 20 years of work on watershed issues, especially. Could you describe some of your scientific experience coming into this position?
Sure. I started my career at a Washington, D.C.-based environmental consulting firm working on issues related to combined sewer overflows and wastewater treatment, developing models of collection systems and helping communities identify places they could put best management practices into their systems to help prevent or reduce those overflows. I relocated to Vermont in 2004 and began working at the Agency of Natural Resources. My first job there was as the agency's regulatory policy analyst, meaning I did work on projects going through Act 250 and Section 248 reviews, and then was promoted to being the director at the Clean and Clear program, where I spent about 4 years working on implementation of the first generation Lake Champlain TMDL. In 2011, I left state service and joined Stone Environmental in Montpelier, where I've been leading their water resources practice for the last 6 years. And we're doing a variety of projects related to addressing stormwater runoff, working on agricultural water quality concerns, as well as supporting communities that may not have a wastewater treatment system but need to deal with wastewater in order to grow their downtowns.
Now, that first time around with ANR, that was under Governor Jim Douglas. Remind us in that long story of lake cleanup efforts, where were we in terms of policy and legal action in the mid-2000s when you headed up the Clean and Clear program?
Sure. So the initial TMDL for Lake Champlain, and that stands for Total Maximum Daily Load, which is a pollution budget for the lake in essence, was accepted by EPA in 2002 based on a long-term monitoring study and a lot of other modeling work that had been completed by the agency. The Clean and Clear program had its inception shortly after that, I believe in 2004, and with a commitment from the Douglas administration to spend something on the order of $125 million to address lake water quality issues. This was based on initial estimates from the agency program, affected agency programs, not only in natural resources, but also with the agencies of agriculture and transportation. And so we were well into that work, starting to realize that it was probably a much more significant effort and undertaking than we had initially envisioned, and looking at what else was needed to really start to move the needle on water quality. Obviously, we're also, during that time, are battling against sort of increasingly wet and more intense rain events. And most of Lake Champlain's pollution occurs as a result of runoff from wet weather, frankly. It's not coming out of the end of a wastewater treatment facility. It's coming off the landscape. So the more it rains and the more intensely it rains, the more pollution we see.
So at the time, what were your biggest concerns about the health of the lake? Have they changed much since then?
Yes and no. The biggest concerns are obviously the impacts of harmful algal blooms. The blue-green algae that we see in the lake is capable of producing a toxin. The toxin has impacts on recreation, from human health impacts to impacts on folks' pets. It also has the potential to impact drinking water supplies, as we saw with the city of Toledo a couple summers ago in Ohio. So those impacts haven't really changed. I think that the challenge is sort of some of the exacerbation, maybe for lack of a different word, that we're seeing with the dramatic variations in our climate. Within the last 18 months, we've seen record high and record low lake levels, and those sorts of swings, you know, they produce different challenges for management. And I feel like the dynamic nature of the system is just growing as we move through time.
The intensity of things really has picked up. Same issues, but really more intense.
Correct.
Your private sector work with Stone Environmental included a close examination of the Missisquoi watershed. What did your work uncover there?
Sure. The work we did there was what we termed a critical source area study. So we were looking at areas of the landscape that disproportionately would contribute phosphorus pollution. We were making no commentary on the way the land was being managed. It was really looking at the combination of soils, slopes, cropping system, if it was in agriculture, and proximity to surface water as the key drivers for what determined which parcels were the most risky. The idea being, and as we know, lake cleanup is very expensive, but if we're able to target our resources to those pieces of the landscape that are the most sensitive, we should be able to have a much more significant impact. In fact, our study found by targeting our resources to the most sensitive places on the landscape, we could have three times the impact as opposed to if we just sort of randomly distributed our resources across.
Fair to say that this Missisquoi watershed then was kind of a canary in the coal mine in the sense that you're looking at this very sensitive area where a lot of problems have cropped up and saying, look, if we can target what's happening here, we can deal with the larger issues.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly one of the lakes that shows the most profound effects of phosphorus pollution and therefore a critically important area to focus on.
You know, that same report resulted in a legally binding agreement that the Conservation Law Foundation entered into with the Agency of Agriculture, mandating the state to impose more rigorous management practices on Vermont farms, large and small. Now, some Vermont farmers have felt unfairly targeted as a result. Are the state's farmers being asked to carry the appropriate burden when it comes to keeping the lake clean?
I think that there's a significant burden that all Vermonters, frankly, need to carry. I think the challenge is trying to figure out how to do it in a way that's meaningful for water quality without having a devastating impact on the way we use the landscape. We're learning as we go, so to speak. And I think over time, as practices become more familiar and more widely adopted, we're seeing the changes ultimately we want. But change is hard. Sometimes farmers don't have the tools they need to be able to implement these practices readily. And I know that can be frustrating to them as well because their time is their most important resource and it's finite.
Sure. And that's true, I think, especially for small farmers. But what about the disproportionate impact that the large farm organizations have?
Right. I would say large farms have, and by and large, been leaders on a lot of this stuff, looking at new technologies and trying new practices. I think that there, you know, we still have room to go and improvements that need to be made. And it's important that we sort of can get to that point where everybody feels like they're on the same team and pulling in the same direction. It's much more challenging to make progress when you're looking, you know, not only to farmers, but individual homeowners and businesses to make changes in their individual behavior that cumulatively will lead us to the water quality conditions we all really want in Lake Champlain.
Are there some particular improvements that you already are thinking of that you could possibly implement?
Wow. That's a tough question 36 hours into the job. I mean, certainly there are efficiencies and opportunities I see in a lot of places. I'm really excited about the project that I know Green Mountain Power is developing, looking at a community-scale biodigester facility in the St. Albans Bay watershed. I think that has some important opportunities, both on the economic side of the equation as well as on the water quality side of the equation. Work that's being done in some of the communities in Chittenden County, in particular the city of Burlington, is looking at integrated planning, which would help integrate their thinking about their wastewater, their stormwater, and their combined sewer systems, trying to figure out which of those projects are the best overall for water quality and do them first, as opposed to, you know, trying to have a scattershot approach, which in the end may achieve the same result, but certainly not get there in a way that's as meaningful to the folks who want to use the lake.
Yeah. We're speaking with Julie Moore, the new head of the Agency of Natural Resources. If you have a question, you can call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Julie, you touched on this just before a little bit. The EPA has estimated a price tag over 20 years for cleaning up Lake Champlain, about $1.3 billion. But there was a recent study out of Dartmouth College and UVM that said the guidelines that EPA put forth for lake cleanup are actually not strict enough because the agency didn't take into effect the effects of climate change. You touched on that briefly. How much do you think climate change should factor into assessments of the lake's health going forward?
I think it's an important sideboard for anything we're doing when it comes to Lake Champlain. The changes in climate are significant. There's also a significant amount of unknowns when it comes to what the future holds. And so I think we need to have approaches that are adaptive and flexible. There are practices we're talking about right now, whether it's in the built environment or the agricultural environment, that make sense regardless of the climate solution, and will have benefits and potentially larger benefits if implemented correctly.
Did you have an opinion on that study when you heard about that?
I actually sat through a presentation yesterday by a couple of the key researchers from UVM where they explained that there's they've run a whole series of different climate models, and they've got a range of results. And on the worst case end of the scenario, it certainly looks like it would. Climate change has the potential to overwhelm what we would be doing on the landscape. On the other end of those climate change scenarios, it looks like we may be doing more than enough. And I think it's understanding the unknowns that contribute to that range and what we need to do to be prepared for those unknowns.
Let's talk again about everybody's favorite acronym, TMDL, which you explained means total maximum daily load. And this is what you said is basically how much the lake can take, you know, in phosphorus and runoff pollution. Why is that amount of TMDL so hotly debated?
Well, so, you know, you would think the TMDL, some people would think the TMDL would be zero, right? We don't want any phosphorus in the lake. And, and that's not true. There's some amount of naturally occurring phosphorus that's always been in Lake Champlain. Phosphorus comes from tree leaves. It comes from grass clippings. It's endemic in our environment. The total maximum daily load says how much phosphorus can we have without having an adverse impact on water quality, without having blue-green algae blooms. And that number, it's there's science that contributes to it. There were visual observations made of the lake throughout the 90s when people felt conditions were particularly aesthetically pleasing that contributed to it. So there's both qualitative and quantitative factors that went into the criteria that determine what that number is. And it's a really difficult number to pin down. We have an enormous watershed that drains to Lake Champlain. I saw an interesting graph the other night where somebody had said, you know, if the size of our watershed, which is extends into New York and Quebec as well as half the state of Vermont, was proportional to the size of the watershed draining to the Great Lakes, it would only be the Winooski River Basin. Wow. Our watershed is, you know, 10 to 12 to 15 times larger on a per square meter of lake surface area than most of the other major lake watersheds.
You know, as a scientist, I'm betting here that you would want to just concentrate on the science of your job, but you know there's going to be other factors coming
Absolutely.
Into this. So much of what you'll be able to do in this position as head of ANR is dependent on funding, both
Yes.
at the state and federal level. Along with the praise that you've received from some environmental groups is skepticism from them about comments the incoming governor made about not wanting to raise taxes to pay for Lake Champlain cleanup, his hopes that perhaps the Trump administration will relax some requirements related to TMDL. And you're faced with a really big task here. Are you concerned about having the money and resources that are needed to clean up and keep the lake healthy and essentially do your job?
Yeah, obviously, one of my first orders of business is to get up to speed with the work the current administration and the Treasurer's Office has done related to Act 64, which is the Vermont Clean Water Act, but also includes the Clean Water Fund, which would be the primary source of funding for lake cleanup. In my role at Stone, I've been following this issue, but I need to come at it with a new lens at this point and look forward to taking that opportunity. I do think I would like to clarify, I guess, a little bit of,
sure.
of what the governor-elect had said regarding the Trump administration. Clean water is going to be a priority for this administration, sort of regardless of what happens in Washington. And I would like to think that my appointment really shows that he takes water quality seriously and it is his priority.
So when you're looking at some of the numbers about, you know, estimates about what all this could cost, is that something that you're not going to want to have to worry about? In other words, you're not going to have to want to go to the governor and say, I need X amount of money here. You know, you're not giving me that amount of money. How are you going to approach those things when it comes to saying, look, this is what we need to do to clean up this lake and keep it healthy into the future?
Yeah, I think we are going to be looking at the proposals that will come out of the treasurer's office for lake cleanup and ways we can support those strategies.
Mm-hmm.
For example, and with the important caveat that we don't compromise the state's financial footing or overextend our capacity, there are probably financial tools. I'm thinking specifically like clean water bonds that we could use to make the investments in a long-term solution.
And there's far more to ANR than Lake Champlain, of course. What parts of the agency will be, you know, new areas for you to learn about and to work on?
Sure. Well, certainly everything related to water is sort of where I've spent the bulk of my career.
That's your wheelhouse.
It is my wheelhouse. That said, when I did serve as the agency's regulatory policy analyst for 3 years, I had the opportunity to work across not only divisions but also departments, looking at, you know, deer yards with the Fish and Wildlife Department, looking at some of the issues with high elevation timber harvesting with the Department of Forest, Parks, and Recreation, as well as air pollution and waste issues out of the Department of Environmental Conservation. So I do look forward to getting back to that sort of breadth of scope in this role.
Julie Moore will be the new head of Vermont's Agency of Natural Resources. Thank you so much for coming in and taking the time to speak with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.